Please be seated. The Gospel of Mark has three times that Jesus announces his passion. Three times. And it's on his way going up to Jerusalem. Do you remember the first time he announced it? What happened? Someone remembers what happened? Huh? Well, that's in John. This is Mark. But good one. We'll have it on another time. Mark, the first one, remember what it was? Peter, remember? Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter says, oh, no, you're not. He rebuked him. And he says, no, you can't do that. You can't die. The second time is this one we just read. And there will be a third one where Jesus announces. And that time, the disciples is John and James. They're disputing. Bickering, and who will sit at your left and who's going to sit at your right? Today, what they're bickering about? What is their... Who is the greatest? Can you imagine? Jesus is about to die and they're saying, hey, who's going to take over here? Come on, disciples. But this just puts in evidence our humanity. It is the human condition of this conflict, dispute, and misunderstanding. Three times Jesus announces his passion. Three times the disciples don't get it, don't understand it. And three times Jesus has to explain, this is what I mean by being my follower, my disciple. Three announcements. Three inappropriate responses and three explanations of what true discipleship means. Now, James asks a question. James, as a disciple of Christ, is very acutely aware of the disputes that were amongst the disciples, the apostles. Sometimes we imagine the apostles as these very holy and very spiritual men. They were not. This is pretty evident. They were squabbling, didn't get it, and that continued on for a long time. James asked the question in today's reading, the second reading of today. He says, those conflicts, the disputes among you, where do they come from? I think it's a very important question, especially today in our society where we have so much disputes and arguments. James asks, where? Where did this come from? Why is this so contentious? So much battle? And he answers, do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? And I would just like to emphasize this word, cravings. Do they not come from your cravings that are at war with you? James continues saying, you crave something that you do not possess, so you murder to get it. You desire the things you cannot earn, so you sue others and fight for what you want. So James wants us to go deeper, to look into our hearts, which is what Jesus has been saying. Don't focus only in the outside, look into your heart. And James is inviting us there. Look into your hearts, your cravings, your desire to attach and to want and more and more and more. I even get like that, right? Do you feel that? Want more. I need more. This covetousness. How do you say that word? Covetousness. That is what James is pointing. Identify this within ourselves because this is the source of our disputes and our conflicts. This is not a Christian-only story. The concept of craving is essential in Buddhism. That is the second noble truth. Craving. When we identify that craving, that is the beginning of our liberation. There's a Hindu poet that wrote about cravings and how pernicious they are. They maintain, he wrote the following, "My face is overrun with wrinkles. My head is marked with gray. My limbs have gone flaccid. Craving along, alone keeps its youth and vigor." He points, yeah, this, I'm getting old, but these cravings, they still, they're like 15-year-olds. Jesus' solution to this craving is what? For him, the solution is the path. Walking, following him. The path of discipleship. Being companions with him on this road. Follow Jesus and taking our cross. Being servants and slaves of all. And he illustrates this by placing a little kid in the middle of his disciples. For many of us, children are this cute and lovely thing, of course, right? You're not a children. Juliet does like this. But in the ancient time, children were not cute. And in Aramaic, the language of Jesus, the word for child and the word for servant were the same words. Thankfully, you're born here. So child and servant were the same thing. And Jesus says, you want to be the best? You want to be the greatest? You want to be the mega disciple? Be a servant. Be like a child. Be in service to others. Jesus says the path against of these cravings is to step back and do the opposite of what they are inviting you to do. Now, this path of discipleship for James is the path of submission. He answers himself. He answers himself, saying in verse 7 of today's reading, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." It is a central concept in Islam. The word Islam means to submit. That is the key there. It says, James says, what to do? Submit. Surrender is another, maybe a better word for us. Surrender. When you don't know, I acknowledge these cravings, these passions that are in conflict and battle within me. Surrender. Release. Let go. Now, did you notice what the apostles told Jesus when he asked them, hey, what were you talking about on our way here? What did they say? Nothing. They were quiet. Why do you think they were quiet? They were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. And Jesus, I think, pointed to a very important practice in our spiritual lives, the practice of confession. Now, many people say, oh, confession, I don't want to talk about confession. Confession is fundamental. What Jesus is saying is, if you are not willing to speak up, to share what's going on inside, if you hide it, if you just put it and have it in a little basket with nobody knowing what's going on, you're not being able to heal and to become whole. Precisely, Jesus wanted them. He says, what were you talking? He is inviting them to fess up, to confess, to say, Jesus, this is what we were talking about. But they do not. And because they resist, they cannot receive the healing and the grace and the wholeness that Jesus is inviting them to. They were embarrassed, but their embarrassment was an obstacle, an impediment for their own spiritual growth and health. That is the reason why, for example, in our service, we always have a confession. And I know many people bristle at that. Oh, I don't like that confession. And it's true. Church has used confession to blame and shame us. If that is the reason, that is not true confession. Confession is not to make you feel worse or to shame. But I don't want to throw the baby with the bathwater. Confession has a value because it moves us out of my own sense of I'm by myself, opening up myself. I want to share with this year, Hugh and I, starting on January 1st, we had a meditation and we talked about confession. And one of the practices we did for this whole year has been to confess to one another. To confess and not have secrets with each other. And it's not been easy. Sometimes thoughts and things come and say, I don't want to share it with you. It's embarrassing. But the practice of saying, no, I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to reveal and share with him, because I trust him. I trust his love. I trust his support. And hopefully it's the other way around too. And we help each other. And it's been so healing. Every once in a while, we'll sit down. Hugh, I'm struggling with this. Struggling things that make me sad, depressions or anxiety or doubts. And it's such a liberating thing when I can say, hey, Hugh, this is what's going on. In the Episcopal Church, confession can be to anybody. Traditionally, it's been a priest. But in our prayer book, anybody can be to receive the confession of anyone. And I think there's a big point there. Confession is so important. If you don't trust your priest, talk with anybody. Talk with anybody so that other person can hear your voice. Can you can put in their hands your vulnerability, your fears, and when you put it out there with someone you trust, that has to be careful. Someone who is trustworthy, compassionate, and loving, that person can be a conduit for God's grace. James, in his letter, just about a chapter after, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. He recognized the importance of this talking, confessing. And we do it. We do it with our therapists. We do it with the neighbor. We do it in a sacred ritual, in a sacred environment where we are putting ourselves in the hands of another person as a spiritual practice. And this is not unknown in our 12-step practices. This is important. The first of the 12 steps is we admit that we are powerless over whatever it is, alcohol, gambling, drugs, sex, whatever. We admit that we are powerless. It is a recognition of that surrender, that submitting ourselves that James talks about. I need God's grace. We recognize the need for God or higher power. And on step four, we make, and I love this word, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I love the word fearless, isn't it? A searching and fearless moral inventory. That's what the apostle needed. A little bit of fearlessness. They were too fearful. And on step five, we admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Not to shame, not to hit on the head, not to make you feel worse. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to liberate. And just to share, when I've shared, I've had like secrets or things that I haven't shared with you. When I shared it with him, I suddenly said, well, it's not that big of a deal after all. Became smaller, more manageable. It's liberating. So, brothers and sisters, I invite you to look at these readings with hope and with grace. Jesus is inviting us to a path of healing and wholeness. A path that is not easy. The disciples didn't get it the first or the second or the third, nor the fourth or the fifth. It took a long time. So let us not be too hard on ourselves. It's over and over and over. Practicing the grace of God that overflows our hearts. Let us pray. O God of unsearchable mystery and light, your weakness is greater than our strength. Your foolishness brings all our cleverness to naught. Your gentleness confounds the power we would claim. You call first to be last, and last to be first. Servant to be leader, and leader to be underling of all. Pour into our hearts the wisdom of your word and spirit, that we may know your purpose and live to your glory. Amen.